Yes, I've seen that.
Yeah. In which somebody, you know, answered to his position very antagonistically, you know.
Well, it might not hurt to state Eric's position. He talked a great deal about the need for an artist to suffer. He talked about the effect of his displacement, and the fact that perhaps without the impetus of this move behind him, that he could not have written his best. So one gets the feeling that he felt he was writing his best in this American stuff.
Yeah, he felt really that he had greatly, that it had, in the end, had a beneficial effect upon him. And that through these sufferings and through these struggles, he had gained a certain strength which enabled him to tackle these big forms, mm-hmm. which he had not done before.
Mm-hmm. As I recall, the letter to the Times took him to task for saying that a composer had to suffer. And I found this rather superficial letter myself, but interesting that it elicited such a response.
Yeah, it made this person angry, you know.
And also in this article, he touches upon a subject that is of some concern to many people now, namely, especially with the approach of the American Bicentennial, this whole idea of what American music is, as opposed perhaps to music that's written in America. There is no doubt that Eric writes a different kind of music in America, but he doesn't employ what one might call American rhythms or American themes specifically. However, it is a different kind, and Eric again talks about the impact of America upon him, that he felt inclined to write differently here, didn't he?
Yeah. For one thing, he never again wrote songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, America is such a big country, and I think that in some way made an impact that he tried himself in bigger forms, and that the small, gem-like output that a song is, you know,
right.
This chiseled thing of miniature drama, that this didn't seem right here,
mm-hmm.
that something bigger was elicited from him,
mm-hmm.
because of the bigness of the country. I think so.
I
don't know if he meant it so, but it was just a subconscious thing, I think.
Mm-hmm. And if one looks at the output, there's no doubt the works are bigger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In 1951, Eric composed the fourth in the series of chamber pieces, a cello sonata, which he dedicated to Gregor Piatigorsky. Were you friends with Piatigorsky at this time, or how did this dedication come about?
That came about that Eric was constantly in mind to finish Job.
Mm-hmm.
And from time to time, we saw in the paper certain organizations that seemed to help the artist, and there was this New York Art Foundation.
Oh.
And we wrote to the New York Art Foundation, and surprisingly enough, Piatigorsky answered.
Oh.
And we had an interview with him.
I see.
Piatigorsky immediately loved Eric.
Mm-hmm.
We got the support from this New York Art Foundation, which was, however, very small, but it enabled Eric to do the cello sonata, which he dedicated to Piatigorsky.
Well, in the slow movement of this piece, another element enters Eric's style, a refinement of something he'd been heading towards, it seems, for some time, but one really has to call it a new element, and that is that instead of writing the kind of religious Hebraic sort of melody that seemed to be an imitation of Hebrew cantillation, he writes a slow movement that is based upon supposedly authentic cantillation formulas. Here the name of the man Solomon Rozovsky comes to mind. Perhaps you can talk a little bit about him.
Yeah, Solomon Rozovsky was a man who had dedicated his whole life in investigating and studying the punctuation, of the Hebrew language. And he had found, it was his conviction, that it was a musical system, you know, the little, you know, the